So our gospel lesson is one that is fairly common on Thanksgiving. And after a while, you'll see why that is. Jesus is out traveling, going between Judea, the place of the Jews, and Samaria, a place where it's almost like a hostile border. The Samaritans and the Jews, they don't like each other. The Jews felt that the Samaritans were unclean and just icky individuals. And Jesus is traveling along this way when 10 lepers see him, and from a distance they call out to him and they say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, when somebody's asking for pity, it could sound like they're asking for a few different things. Maybe they're asking for money or food. That would be one way to show pity on somebody that is in need, and clearly these guys are in need. Maybe they're just asking for a blessing or a prayer or some kind of empathy, some understanding of their position. Who knows? Well, actually, we do know, because they're asking for something specific here. Our Bible says, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," but what they're really asking for is mercy, because that's the word that they're using here. Literally, they're saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." All of them asking Jesus for the same thing. Now, in this day and age, having leprosy was an awful thing. It's an awful disease. It literally eats away at your living tissue, sometimes leaving you with just stumps for fingers, stumps for toes, stump for a nose. It's a very visual thing on you too. Your face might be broken out in just big, almost boil-like things. You think that junior high is bad. As a pimply youth, this is far worse. And these lepers, to have leprosy meant that you were basically deemed unclean. You were a social outcast. You were expected to live on the outskirts of the city. This is why these people yell out to Jesus from a distance. They're not allowed to go anywhere, because even if they touch somebody, that person also would be considered unclean. So it is kind of like the junior higher with acne, and you're a social outcast, and sometimes in that way. That's how I felt at Mandan anyway. But it goes beyond that too. As an unclean leper, you were not allowed to participate or enjoy the religious rites that the rest of the people had. You were not allowed to go to temple. You were not allowed to make sacrifices. You were not allowed to worship with other people at the synagogue. You were a social and religious outcast. You were unclean. And so these people cry out to Jesus for mercy. In the Gospels, that's a big deal. It's a big deal that they call Jesus Master, because really only the disciples called Jesus Master. And to cry out for mercy was to cry out for rescue. It's to cry out for a healing, but then some. It was to cry out, really, for salvation. They know who this guy Jesus is. They've heard of his works. They've heard of him traveling around healing people like them, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, doing all sorts of miracles. They know what this guy is about. They want him to rescue them. Now, in most stories we hear about healings, we might expect Jesus then to go to these individuals, to go up to them, to break that social boundary and go and touch the person and say, "Be healed," and send them on their way. But what does Jesus do here? He tells them, from a distance still, "Go show yourselves to the priests." It seems like a strange thing. But what Jesus is doing is he's enacting a religious rite, I guess you could say, from Leviticus chapter 14, if you're interested for some bedtime reading tonight. Everybody loves the book of Leviticus, right? No, you don't. Nobody likes it. He's enacting something that we learn about in Leviticus. When a person with leprosy was found to be cured, whether by medical means or amazing miracles or whatever, when they were found to have to not have leprosy anymore, they were still considered unclean until certain things happened. When they were cured of their leprosy, they were supposed to go find a priest so that a priest could do some rituals for them to make them clean again. The first thing they would do is the priest would take two birds. One bird he would sacrifice and start sprinkling blood all over the place. And then another bird he would release out into the wild, and then he would say, "You are clean." Except the guy wasn't fully clean yet because there were more things to do. After the bird was released and the other one was sacrificed, the person was then required to go and shave their head, even their eyebrows, mustaches, beards, their whole body was to be shaved. Then they would take a special bath, and then they would have their clothes washed. But that isn't the end yet. They're still not considered clean. 8 days after doing that stuff, the priest would have them come back, and they would start sacrificing lambs. They would start, again, sprinkling blood all over the place, and then they would take the blood of one of the lambs and some oil, and they'd put it on like an earlobe, and then they'd put it on a thumb, and then they'd put it on your big toe. Again, if you want to know more about this, read the book, Leviticus 14. At the end of all this, these sacrifices, the priest would then be able to declare this person as being clean, as being reconciled to the people of God, and reconciled to God as well. This person could come back into society and into religious practice. Jesus tells these men, these 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. He's enacting this thing. Now, all 10 men go in obedience to the word of Jesus. They actually go. It's an act of faith on the part of all 10 men. And you might think, well, what else do they have? What do they have to lose? They don't have anything to lose. On their way to the priest is when they are healed. Jesus doesn't touch them. He just gives them a word to go to the priest. On their way to the priest, all 10 of them are healed. And as they're going along, one of them, our Bible says, discovered that he was healed, and he came back shouting praises to God. Now, it might sound a little ridiculous there, like they're walking along, all of a sudden somebody realizes, hey, I don't itch anymore. I don't have boils on my face. My fingers have grown back. I'm not decaying as I speak. I've discovered this. I'm going to go back to Jesus. As though the other 9 don't realize that they are healed. The passage can kind of read that way, but that's not the case. All 10 people are healed. And if they weren't healed, they wouldn't continue going to the priest. But there's one man who sees things differently. And in the Gospels, we hear about people who see things differently. The Gospels make a big deal about sight. And they use this physical trait of ours in a very spiritual way quite often. Here, one of the lepers sees something. He sees something. His eyes have been opened. He's no longer blind to the spiritual truth. And what does he see? He sees that Jesus has done something bigger than he realized. The other 9, they're healed, but they don't see in the same way that this man does. And so seeing that he has been healed, he turns and he goes back to Jesus. and he's shouting praises to God. He bows down before Jesus in worship. It's an act of worship. And then he gives thanks to Jesus. It's subtle, but it really is an amazing sequence of events that goes on here. Because he's giving praise to God, it says, but he's bowing down before Jesus. And then he does something that doesn't happen anywhere else in the Gospels. He gives thanks to Jesus. This is the only place in all four Gospels where someone gives thanks to Jesus. Every other case of giving thanks in the Gospels is of someone, oftentimes Jesus himself, giving thanks to God. This man sees now Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, he sees where he is truly made clean, where he is truly reconciled to God. He sees where he is truly saved. And Jesus confirms this to him. Jesus asks, he's a little miffed, weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Why has this foreigner, the only one who came back to thank God? Then Jesus tells the man, you may get up and go. Your faith has made you well. Literally, Jesus says there, your faith has saved you. Because the man was already well. He was already healed before that. Something more has happened in him seeing Jesus. And seeing Jesus, he is saved. His faith has saved him. Throughout America tonight, tomorrow, there are people that are going to be giving thanks. They're going to have a general attitude of feeling thankful. And they're going to feel thankful for very good things, for their health, for how the things that they have, for their family, for their friends. They're going to feel thankful. Almost everyone in America, in some way or another, will feel thankful. It might be for football, too, though not if they're a Vikings fan. They're going to feel thankful. But many of them, for many of them, their thankfulness is just kind of something that's out there. It doesn't have a grounding to it. It's like the 9 men. I guarantee that they were thankful for being not leprous anymore. But there was one man who knew who to give thanks to. You are here tonight because you have seen God. Your eyes have been opened to who he is in Jesus Christ. Your faith has saved you by grace alone, through Christ alone. You have much to be thankful for. In the book of James, there is a passage that says, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. As people of the cross, people of Christ, people whose faith has saved you, you know that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. And in those gifts is the greatest of all. It is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, gave his life for you, and to him we owe all our thanks. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for what you have done for us. We ask, Lord, that you would always keep us mindful of what you have done for us, to be like the leper who came to you, worshiped you, and thanked you. We pray, too, that throughout this land, people would come to that realization, that they would have their eyes opened and know that it is to Jesus Christ that they owe their thanks. We pray this in your name.